Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Roger that. News sources that there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot. I think it was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shay Stevens. Investigators say the 17-year-old suspect in the high school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, told police he used his father's shotgun to carry out the attack. The alleged shooter is accused of killing at least 9 people and wounding 10 others. As NPR's John Burnett reports, Texas U.S. Senator John Cornyn says there needs to be a way to monitor social media to prevent school shootings.
The senator said we need to figure out a way to mine info from social media where people are literally advertising their intentions to do something like this, to walk into a school and open fire on their classmates. He said we need more money to harden schools, and he praised the Santa Fe Independent School District, which did have enough law enforcement on site, or it could have been worse.
NPR's John Burnett reporting. The White House says that President Trump has activated his Gun Safety Commission, which he first convened after the Parkland, Florida school shooting in February. In South Carolina, teachers are the latest group of public school educators to take a stand on pay and working conditions. They plan to rally in their state capital today, days after thousands of North Carolina teachers staged a one-day walkout. South Carolina Public Radio's Felicia Eady has more.
South Carolina is losing teachers in record numbers and having a hard time recruiting new ones. The main reason, low pay. Democratic State Senator John Matthews says it's time to do better.
We're going to have to pay teachers more. In my opinion, we're going to have to pay what I call the market rate.
To get to that rate, senators put a $2,000 starting salary increase for teachers in its budget proposal with bipartisan support.
That'll get it to 35. We hope next year we can do a $2,000 more starting salary and get it up to about 37 so we can work through the system and increase increase teacher pay.
Budget negotiations may probably last until the end of the month. Meanwhile, teachers will make their voices heard where lawmakers work this weekend. For NPR News, I'm Felicia Eady.
In New Jersey, the Attorney General is offering to take over federal investigations of abuses by for-profit colleges and universities. As WHYY's Joe Hernandez reports, the move follows a New York Times report that the U.S. Department of Education is closing an Obama-era unit that performed that task.
New Jersey Attorney General Gurbir Graywall has a simple message for Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. If you won't investigate for-profit college abuses, let us. In a letter to DeVos, Graywall says U.S. Education Department officials have stopped cooperating with his staff. Graywall says that's making it harder for former students in New Jersey to cancel their student loans with the now-defunct Corinthian Colleges. The for-profit Corinthian Colleges closed in 2015 after it was determined to have deceived student borrowers. For NPR News, I'm Joe Hernandez.
From Washington, you're listening to NPR News. The state legislature in Missouri has begun a special session to consider impeaching Republican Governor Eric Greitens over separate sex and fundraising scandals. A special House panel is expected to present the findings of its investigation during the hearings. Greitens was scheduled to be tried earlier this week on a felony invasion of privacy charge stemming from claims that he threatened to blackmail a former lover, but prosecutors dropped the case. He faces a separate trial on an unrelated claim of unauthorized access and use of a donor list from a charity that he founded. Greitens is vowing to fight to clear his name. Kansas Governor Jeff Collier has signed a bill that provides legal protections for faith-based adoption and foster care agencies that turn away prospective parents on religious or moral grounds. From member station KCUR, Madeline Fox has the story.
Governor Collier says a religious exemption is essential to help attract and retain faith-based foster care and adoption agencies while Kansas is grappling with a rising number of kids in state care.
It is imperative that we have policies and law that encourages more child placement agencies, not less.
Opponents, including Republican gubernatorial candidate Jim Barnett, say the measure is discriminatory and could lead to fewer adoptions as single parents and same-sex couples are turned away. The legislature only narrowly passed the bill earlier this month, and the issue could be pivotal in the upcoming campaigns for governor and the Kansas House. For NPR News, I'm Madeline Fox in Topeka.
On Wall Street, stocks closed the week mixed. The Dow gained a point. This is NPR News in Washington.
Me to be able to do what I need to do. It seems like I can hear myself now, so that's a good thing. My normal connection is not doing anything. There is nobody in the chat room right now, but the chat room is open, and we are doing what we can to make sure that everything is the way it needs to be. Japan expressed support for U.S. President Donald Trump's decision this week to cancel the planned summit with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, who has now decided that this is going to happen and he needs it to happen, which is actually kind of a good thing, even though he was saying that before Trump canceled it, Trump was not being conducive to be able to have a summit meeting, but he's now saying that he is going to, that we need to. Japan is pledging that Tokyo intends to keep up pressure on the rogue regime over its nuclear missiles. A nuclear and missiles program. On Friday, Japan's foreign minister, Taro Kono, expressed understanding of the U.S. decision to cancel the meeting, saying it is meaningless to hold a summit if it does not bring about progress, according to the Kyoto News. He noted that Japan would continue to push for North Korea's denuclearization and solve the abduction of Japanese citizens issues, Japan will closely work with the United States. Kyoto News reports, while the cancellation of what could have been the first ever summit between the two countries is regrettable, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe told reporters in St. Petersburg that he respects Trump's decision to not hold the meeting until progress on North Korea's denuclearization and missiles can be expected. The prime minister made those comments while visiting Russia for a meeting with President Vladimir Putin. Echoing the Trump administration, a top spokesman for the Japanese government vowed that Tokyo would maintain pressure on North Korea, which has proved to threaten the island nation directly. Japan's chief cabinet secretary, Yoshihide Suga, told reporters, "The important thing is not holding a meeting itself, but becoming an opportunity to move toward the solution of the nuclear and missile issues, as well as the abduction of Japanese citizens issue. Japan, the United States, and South Korea will continue to put pressure on North Korea to change its policies." Seems like there are a bunch of people who are pushing against Kim Jong-un right now. Suga noted that Japan would remain vigilant and closely monitor the situation. During the U.S. Senate panel hearing on Thursday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo confirmed that Trump administration plans to keep up pressure on North Korea until it takes credible steps towards complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization. Japan's defense minister, Itsuro Onodera, told reporters on Friday, "Japan will closely collaborate with the United States and South Korea to push North Korea to take concrete actions toward the completion of abandonment of weapons and mass destruction and ballistic missiles." And so this whole thing is still going on, folks, whether Kim Jong-un wants us to know it or not. It's still going. It's still in the works. And even he has said it needs to happen. So the South Korean regime, in response to a cancellation, said it is still willing to resolve issues with the United States whenever. I guess as a person who has watched South and North Korea pretty much since the Korean War, kind of expected this kind of thing to happen. Kim Jong-un is a dictator after all, and things have to be his way or no way. But he has run into a president right now who wants things his way or no way. And it kind of looks like Kim Jong-un has been pushed against the wall. And that's kind of the end of that one, huh? Saudi Arabia stopped supporting higher oil prices after Donald Trump said higher prices will not be accepted. Now, this one is one for the books here, folks. The world's largest exporter was said to have planned to move oil prices up to $100 a barrel, but now appears to have decided that prices should not move higher than $80 a barrel. And they are lower than that now, so, folks. So it's like I have been saying all along, there's no freaking reason for gas prices to be over $3 a gallon right now, because the first time the gas hit over $3 a gallon, price of oil was a hell of a lot higher than it is right now. Right now it's $65 a barrel. Yesterday is what it was. I remember when oil hit $65 a barrel the first time, and gas was, I think, something like about $1.25 a gallon. There is no freaking reason for it to be as high as it is right now. And, that's just, I guess, neither here nor there, because we've got greed all over the place. And that is what is causing this. Nothing more than greed and the idea that they can soak the American public for anything that they want because they can do it and people don't remember. Well, folks, I remember. I remember when gas prices were real low. I remember when they were 49 cents a gallon and the price of oil was $49 a barrel. Now, earlier this summer, this winter, if we go back about 4 or 5 months here, we had oil prices about $38 a barrel, and the price of gasoline got no lower than $1.49 a gallon here before they start going back up again. Well, they're saying the price of oil, price of gas is going up because the price of oil is going up. Well, here's the problem with that one. The price of oil is way beyond what the price of gas is, or way below what the price of gas is right now. And even though they have raised prices of gas because the price of oil has gone up, here's the problem. The price of oil dropped immensely late last year. Went from somewhere around $350 a barrel down to $38 a barrel. And gas did not drop that much. And when it finally started to drop, it didn't drop as fast as it needed to. So by the time the price of oil started going back up again, gas still should have gone farther down. And that's just the way it should have been. But, of course, greed takes over, and that is where we are stuck with right now. And we are coming up on the bottom of the hour here. So after I finish this article, I will go into the break. But it said crude fell from $70 to $67 a barrel in New York on Friday. High price of oil. Here is the fallacy of what the oil companies and the others who are pushing the prices of gasoline up are. Back in 71, when I was in high school, like I said a few minutes ago, I was paying 49.9 cents per gallon of gas. The price of oil then was about $50 a barrel. This last summer, when the prices of gas dropped to the lowest of $1.49 a gallon, the price of crude was about $39 a barrel. Now, price of crude at $39 a barrel should have put gas prices about, I'd say, with inflation and all of this stuff, the price of gas should have been 70 cents a gallon. No more 70 cents a gallon. And it is now at $67 a barrel, and gas prices should not be higher than about $1.50. At the very most. The only problem with that is, well, this last week, after several weeks of gas prices going up here in Indiana and all across the nation, gas went over $3 per gallon, while the price of crude is still under $80 a barrel. Like I said, right now it's at $67. When the price of crude first hit $80 a barrel, the price of gas was only about $1.50 a gallon. Now, at $70 a barrel and gas is over $3 per gallon, where is the reasoning for this high price of gas? And it's like I said a few minutes ago, greed is all it is, folks, greed. There is no other reason in the world for the price of gas to be so blasted high when the price of oil isn't anywhere near what it was when gas hit $3 per gallon the first time. We are being robbed blind, and the problem is the people have such a short memory for this kind of thing that gas companies are getting away with this. If they remembered, like I do, the price of gas would be a lot lower, because it should be. At least a dollar and a half lower, if you want the truth of the matter. We will be right back after these messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Okay, Sarah, I'm dropping you at Emily's, and Josh, you're going to soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, when I pick you up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, me and my short shorts doing my daddy dance. Your friends will love it.
No!
Well, I might change my mind if you buckle your seatbelts.
Okay, okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Whatever it takes, keep them safe. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were very superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the Viet Cong. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, with his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Ruth Butte not only holds mystery, but also a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening skies. Matt is the one who was hired to find out what was going on there, and without becoming a part of the nasty plan that was happening. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/4869187. That's www.createspace.com/4669187. It also is in digital form and is also available on Amazon too. That's Matt Joseph in Night Owls, The Mystery by Robert P. Garding, and I approve of this message.
Working. I don't hear myself anymore, but I know that it's probably there. I'm probably still there. Yeah, I am. I've got my earpiece in so I can hear my help talking. And we are back now. If you want to join us on the show today, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. Canada has an anti-Islamophobic motion that has been Parliament M103, but it does not, of course, have any motion against Islamic Jew hatred, even as it is openly espoused by the Muslim politicians such as Taslim Riaz. While the Trudeau government cracks down on those who speak honestly about the jihad threat, it will no doubt do nothing to denounce, much less prosecute, this Jew hater. In Canada, as in Europe, hate speech is something that can only be spoken by foes of jihad terror, not by its proponents. And the left in the U.S. is working hard to bring that same understanding here. Meet the real NDP, anti-Semitic candidate who caught praising Hitler online, Ontario PC, May 25th of 2018, thanks to Mark Scarborough Agincourt. Candidate Taslim Riaz openly shared pro-Nazi memes while accusing Canadian soldiers of war crimes. Yet another NDP candidate has been exposed for holding extreme and hateful views well outside the Canadian mainstream. Today, Ontario PC candidates Guy Lamarto and Todd Smith are shared details on the NDP's troubling history of courting anti-Semitic candidates, including a Scarborough area candidate with a history of sharing pro-Nazi memes. The NDP clearly continues to have a problem with allowing the anti-Semitics, Semites, to fester in the dark corners of their party, said Smith. We've already shown a light on the 9/11 truthers and the militant anti-Israel BDS supporters running for the NDP. But today, however, we have the most serious example of anti-Semitism we have seen in Ontario politics for a long time. Smith and Marteau highlighted the documented social media history of Scarborough Agincourt NDP candidate Tasleem Riaz. Ms. Riaz has previously drawn attention to herself in 2011 through her offensive online commentary accusing the men and women from the Canadian Armed Forces of committing war crimes. Even more disturbingly, Ms. Riaz would later follow up her activism by posting and sharing neo-Nazi meme that shared an inspirational quote from Adolf Hitler, whom she glowingly refers to as the ruler. Thing by accident. You don't openly push Nazi messages on social media by mistake, said Ms. Marteau. It goes without saying that keeping Ms. Riaz on a ballot in this election is offensive to every Jewish person in Ontario, just as it is offensive to every race and nationality who were murdered by Ms. Riaz's apparent hero. Frankly, it's offensive to all Ontarians with any sense of human dignity or decency. When Ontarians pull back the curtain and reveal a real NDP, it is clear that they will not like what they see, concluded Smith. Harwath doesn't get to laugh and shrug this away. If she actually opposes the anti-Semitism festering in her party, she will take immediate action against Ms. Riaz today. And so far, I haven't heard anything about that happening, so I guess it probably isn't. Former President Barack Obama got plenty of praise for shepherding us through the recovery from the 2008 economic crisis. However, those on Main Street USA knew the truth. Things weren't any better than they had been when George W. Bush left office. As a matter of fact, they were much worse. As the Weekly Standard reported in 2016, median household income when Obama came into office in 2009 was $56,731. In 2015, 6 years into his presidency, that number was $56,516, a decrease of just over $200. By the time he left office, it's true the median medium household income had risen to $59,471, but that was essentially the same as it had been in December of 2007 at the end of the Great Recession and just a few weeks before Obama took office when it was $59,549. So how's the Donald doing? Well, as Investors Business Daily reported, the new study from Sentier Research found that the median household income in April was $61,483, a 50-year high. Folks, that's up from $59,471 in January of 2017. Firm tracks income using census data and adjusts for inflation, so even a slightly weaker dollar doesn't account for the increase. That's great news for the country, but may not be the best news for Democrats. Completing this poll entitles you to conservative Tribune News updates free of charge. You may opt out at any time. Now, that was part of a little advertisement that I got. So, but this is just another indication that the economy is totally strengthened, notably strengthened under Trump. And polls show that the public's mood has brightened considerably as a result. Investors Business Daily reported this. The latest IDPD and TIPP Economic Optimism Index is 53.6. This index has been in positive territory. Anything over 50 is optimistic since Trump took office. The quality of life index, meanwhile, hit a 14-year high in May, and the financial stress index is an all-time low. That economic data is followed by a lot of polls that seem to show that the blue wave expected in November midterms breaking and rolling back into the sea. A new Reuters poll found that a generic Republican would beat a generic Democrat by 6 points. Back in March, the Democrats were up by 9. A CBS poll found that Democrats had a 2-point advantage on the generic poll, hardly wave material. The CBS poll also found that 68% of Americans believe Trump's policies deserved at least some of the credit for the economic situation, with 35% saying he deserved a great deal of the credit. 64% of respondents rated the economy as somewhat good or very good. In a CNN poll, 57% of voters said that things are going well in the U.S. In February, it was 49%. So that's gone up almost 8% here. Perhaps the most important figure under Obama, when Gallup asked whether it was a good time to find a quality job in the U.S., and the highest number that the administration ever achieved was 45%. Under Trump, that number is 67%, the highest number in the 17-year history of the poll. While Trump's personal numbers haven't seen the same bounce, they're still up, and that's the important thing. Thanks to the relentless campaign of personal attacks against him, Trump's stated approval rating has always been a lot lower than it probably really is. Don't believe me? Just ask Hillary Clinton. For all of the personal barbs and attacks, 2016 ultimately came down to the economy. So will 2018, and it's not good news for the Democrats, I guarantee you. The man suspected of shooting 3 people inside an Oklahoma City restaurant before being fatally shot was licensed as an armed security guard. Gerald Conkler with the Oklahoma Council on Law Enforcement Education and Training says the 28-year-old Alexander Tigman held an active license as an armed guard. Conkler declined further comment, citing state privacy laws. Oklahoma City police say Tigman opened fire inside a local restaurant late Thursday, shooting and wounding a woman and 2 girls. He was later shot dead by two bystanders outside, which is a good thing. Police on Friday said the shooting appeared to be random, but noted that Tigman drove to the restaurant and wore protective gear for his ears and eyes. A police spokesman said it looked like his mind was made up that he was going to discharge his firearm once he got there. Oklahoma City Police Captain Bo Matthews said during a news conference Friday that Tigman's only interaction with the local police was in 2003 during a domestic assault and battery when Tigman was 13. Or Tilgman, whatever. The National Rifle Association said it hopes the restaurant shooting in Oklahoma City, in which the alleged shooter was shot dead by 2 armed citizens, serves as a wake-up call for the state's Republican governor. The NRA said the tweet Friday that the shootings Friday, Thursday evening were an example of how the best way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. NRA has been critical of Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon for vetoing a so-called constitutional carry bill that would have allowed adults to carry firearms without a license or training. Hal Smith, restaurant group, owns the restaurant. The company said the statement that the restaurant will be closed Friday and counselors will be available to employees and customers as needed. The shooting happened around 6:30 p.m. Thursday on Louis on the Lake, a restaurant at Lake Hefner. That quote, the best way to stop a bad man with a gun is a good guy with a gun, happens more often than most will know because the media will not report it, folks. A school shooting this last week that was stopped by a man with a gun should have been front page news, but not so many people have heard about it. That is the sad commentary on this nation's so-called news media. From Politico Pistachio, and Douglas V. Gibbs comes this one, AR-15's military platform is not the point. The argument seems to be circling around guns like, and it seems to be the liberal Democrats and their knuckle-dragging minions call it an assault weapon. The conservatives argue that it is not, and it is not. The facts are simple. The AR-15 is built on the same platform as the Army's M4A1 and the Marine Corps' M16. They use the same size caliber ammunition and come with a 30-round magazine. The difference is that the military versions of these firearms have the option to fire in automatic bursts. In other words, if you pull the trigger and hold it, it will fire until you let go. The AR-15 cannot, something the left will never let you know. Both the military version and the civilian version of the firearms are semi-automatics, which means that the separate action, in addition to pulling the trigger, is not necessary to fire the next shot, but you do have to pull the trigger. Leftists say that such a military-grade weapon like the AR-15s have no business being in the hands of the average American, mainly because the left doesn't trust us. Only members of the military and law enforcement should have access to these kinds of weapons. The Second Amendment was written for the purpose of enabling the citizenry to be armed, not only for the protection of one's life and home, but to be armed against a potentially tyrannical government, which brings us back to the left's argument about the AR-15. As I said, the Second Amendment was written so that we may protect ourselves from a tyrannical government. The Democrats claim that Donald Trump is a fascist, a Nazi, and a tyrant. Yet, they want the Trump government to enact gun control and not only take guns away from the law-abiding citizens, but make sure that only the authorities, military, federal officers, and law enforcement are armed with such deadly weapons. Why are they in favor of a tyrant taking our guns and making sure that only government has access to them? I mean, what could possibly go wrong? My leftist friends say, but Doug, the AR-15 was specifically built for the purpose of killing people. After which I responded, all guns are capable of killing people. That's actually the point of the Second Amendment. To kill bad guys should the system be taken over by them. Here's a question for our leftist friends. Do they really think that's a good idea to be disarmed by the government they claim is currently being run by a bunch of fascists? How stupid can you get? Every time there's a shooting, they want to initiate gun control against law-abiding citizens. When there are car crashes, should we take away driving privileges from good drivers? When there are stabbings, should we put into place knife control? Blame the cutlery industry, attack any organizations in place who claims to defend the rights of knife owners? Maybe when the car crashes happen, we should ban all Hummers and Jeeps, you know, since they are built on frames also used on military vehicles. Maybe if we ban all of the big scary-looking cars, car crashes would become a thing of the past. The absurdity of the gun control lobby is staggering. And I have some audio from Doug on his show when he was talking about school shootings.
Welcome back. It is time for the final segment here on Conservative Voice Radio. And the Tea Party group with me, Glenn, Jan, and Diane, has a lot to say. Visit the site at bbcvteaparty.com. Learn about the meetings. Join us every Tuesday morning for breakfast or the second Thursday evening of each month for our monthly meeting. I am Douglas V. Gibbs, your host, and here's the final topic, the school shootings and a compromised culture. Now, you know, it's fascinating because what I talk about is cultural Marxism, which is a strategy designed to dismantle the West's ability to defend itself by eradicating morality and exterminating the virtuous principles that have made the United States and Western civilization flourish. We have demasculinized our men And it's an ideological war that's being waged to fundamentally transform society because the left believes our value system must be destroyed. The goal is to undermine the character of our men so that they will lose the will to fight and defend the values that have made modern Western society so successful and prosperous. Now, last Sunday, I was at an event, and a gentleman by the name of Mark Tapson was speaking. He said something very fascinating. In recent history, since, and I can't remember the year he gave, I think it was since 92, I believe, was the year he gave, every single mass shooting except for two of them, the shooter was the product of a fatherless household.
That's right.
In other words, the man was gone in their life. They have been demasculinized. They have been pushed by the feminism liberal left. Men have been pushed out of the picture. And the fact is, men are an important part of this society. But see, the problem with the left is they think they need to bring down the white capitalism patriarchy. And to do this, they are targeting and working to destroy traditional relationships and the family unit. And the result are young men who have not been taught how to be men, and they know that there's supposed to be something masculine about them. They strike out, and guess what? They are the shooters. In my opinion, the school shootings, the gun violence is a compromised culture, and the left and the lack of masculinity deconstructed, men convinced that their inherent masculinity is toxic. They've been broken down, feminized, made harmless against the ploy of that's really out to destroy our capitalistic society. A subculture of men emerging who have come to believe that their masculinity is to blame for every societal ill, from domestic violence to environmental catastrophes to, yes, shootings. At early ages, little boys are taught that their typical male behavior, rambunctious energy, is problematic and toxic. They must be drugged in order to fit into their societal place. All of this, I think, has changed our society, and now it's turned into gun violence. And then those demasculinizing us are pointing and saying, see, male aggression, that's a fault of that, you know, gun violence also. They're missing the whole point. The fact that dad's been removed and our men have been turned into girly men, I think, is the problem. Sorry, I got on a soapbox there. Go ahead, Jan, your turn.
No, I totally agree. Now, look at what the left's done. Let me just go 30,000 feet. They've told me, because I'm white, I have white privilege. They've told my son that he has toxic masculinity. I reject both. What are the universities teaching our kids? You actually have professors that are saying that they are going to grade on a bell curve, but guess how? The women would have the heavier weight in the grading. Have you ever heard of anything more toxic in thinking than that? What is that doing to an 18 or 20 year old when he's sitting in a class and listening to this 50 year old telling him he has no value, but the woman, the young girl sitting next to him, has more value? I reject that, and my kid would be out of that university so fast it would make your head spin.
And as a result, today's young men no longer see any benefit in getting married, settling down, having children. And our girls are becoming mindless automatons of hate, rage, and nasty women. And you know what? Islam's excited about that phenomenon because they've been saying for years that all they have to do is outbreed us. And guess what? Our men don't want to breed. They don't want to be men. And they don't want to defend our ladies against something like, I mean, Islam, you know, is just one example of what we face. The world is full of factions who don't want to play nice. And when they sense our weakness, they pounce. And, you know, male aggression through masculinity is the necessary tool in our tool belt, you know, to resolve conflicts, be it a schoolyard bully, a rampaging dictator flattening his neighbors with war machines, or an Islamic fundamentalist, you know, willing to do all he can to take out as many infidels as possible. But to wage war against evil, our men must be willing to do so, and they become girly men.
Let me give you an example of somebody who was a man's man, real tough guy, probably didn't have a father. He went to prison in California. And when Jerry Brown released him here recently, when he reduced a lot of felonies to misdemeanors, this tough guy got out of jail. He lived in San Bernardino, and somebody accidentally bumped his car a little bit, and it happened to be an off-duty police officer. He got out of his car, you know, to give him his information and so forth. The guy walked up to him and punched him and knocked him down, and he died. And how that young black guy's got to probably spend the rest of his life in prison, or a big piece of it. But you're right. Men are getting in trouble. They've broken homes. Women got a big problem finding men nowadays.
Well, natural masculinity. They don't know what to do with it.
If you want to find out some information about what's going on, and I think it's on purpose, trying to turn them into a bunch of fairies and homosexuals or transgenders, go on to Jordan Peterson.
Jordan Peterson's a great source. Mark Kapsen's a
great
source.
His name. He talks a lot about what they're doing to men.
And another one would be Warren Farrell, and he has The Boy Crisis, is the book he has out right now. All right, Diane, you get to close up this topic.
Well, for one thing, when they took God out of the schools, you saw the morality go down, okay, because it's all connected. And God has a plan for each one of us, and he made boys, he made girls, and I'm not going to go into all that, you know, you think you're a boy or you think you're a girl. I'm not going to go into all that, okay? I'm just going to say there's a morality problem. Each generation keeps getting worse. Here's what I'm going to say. As a solution. Number one, you got to protect the schools. Okay, number one, you got to protect the schools because that's how it is right now. Okay, that's how it is. You've got to have teachers that are trained, you know, they carry a gun and they're trained, security guards that are armed. You're going to have to protect the schools, number one. Number two, you do have to let God back in the schools and morality and teachers teaching morality, you know, to these kids. These kids are coming from homes now where they don't have love. Okay, that's what's missing here, really, is these kids don't have love. They don't have, these boys don't have the love of a father, which they need biologically. Yeah, if you're into science.
They're not even sure which bathroom to use. And, you know, and this is all a mental health issue that's been brought on by leftism. It's not a civil rights issue. And the sooner we begin to recognize that, the sooner we will begin to do what needs to be done to stop the growing assault against our civilization by cultural Marxism and save our constitutional republic from forces that are determined to strangle our constitution and our way of life.
Now, one of the reasons that I like listening to Doug is the fact that he knows our constitution inside and out. He also does not call us a democracy, which almost everybody does. Everybody in our government does, and even Rush Limbaugh has done it more often than I care to even count. But we are not a democracy. We never were a democracy. But when it comes to what they were talking about, the trouble with this is the absurdity and stupidity of these things are lost to the left. All they care about is gun control. And folks, let me guarantee you this. If they get that gun control, the next will be control of something else. Doug mentioned knives. I wouldn't put it past the leftists. If they can get control of them, then cars will be next, even though cars are already on the radar of the left's deadly things that must be gotten rid of. The point here is that the left will never be satisfied with what they get. They will always, always want more. Remember the pollution control thing of the 60s and 70s? The left wanted more control on cars and emissions to clean up the air, but that was never their desired destination to do that. When they started, the air in L.A. was seldom clear enough to see blue skies. There always was smog and brownness in the air that more or less obliterated the blue of the sky, whereas now the skies in almost all the photos you see are without clouds is blue in L.A. But do the leftists say, see, we cleaned up the air. It's better for us to breathe now. No, they don't. They are still using the same arguments that they used way back when the air was so much more dirty, and we are going to die and make Earth uninhabitable if we don't clean up the air. Now take to the gun control side, the left. The left has had assault weapons bans in place quite a few times, and the average citizens cannot even own one. So all this talk of assault weapons is nothing more than just pure crap. There's no assault weapons, and the idea of people having guns, it is right that we all have it is a right that we all have according to the Second Amendment. But it isn't for hunting. It is for self-defense and for use against a tyrannical government. The leftists in our government are tyrannical, and that is why they want us to be disarmed so we cannot stop them, period. So this is to all the liberals out there and to the David Hoglett and others who are out there just preaching up a storm to all of us out here saying that, oh, we need to get rid of guns. Listen up here. Learn what the Second Amendment says it is and what it's there for. Read up on it. Study it. Know why it was put into the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Know why it was put where it is. It is there for our protection, for self-defense, and for use against a tyrannical government. Obama's was a tyrannical government, and sadly, many are still there, doing what they can to stop Trump and what he is trying to do for the people. Tyrannical? See? The Second Amendment is needed, folks, if not by the government, but by the governed. It is our only defense against tyrannical people in power like Pelosi and Schumer and Durbin and McCain and Feinstein and others. Yeah, they are still there. And they need to be, and they will be there until we unelect them. It is up to us to stop their reign of terror over we, the people. And that is pretty much it. At the top of the hour now, and we will be right back after these messages.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Are you one of those people that the left likes to label as a dumb hayseed hick who believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and freedom? Do you value your guns? Are you a traditional American patriot who is not afraid to voice your support for America? Do you wish that you had a way to get that patriotic message out? Do you dream of the day you can? Well, that day is at hand because Conservative Nation Media is looking for just such a person. Be a radio host for your very own patriotic venue to get your voice out on CNM. Choose your day and time, and presto, the left will go crazy because more of the truth they want hidden will get out. So do your part. Email us at conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com to get started informing patriots like you who want their government to know that we know what is going on. That's Conservative Nation Media 2017, no spaces, at gmail.com. Then you can let the world know we will not be ruled.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert, who are not afraid of the wrath of the left when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda for us. From the crossroads of America comes the second hour of the show.
Back with actually the second hour of the show, but the second half hour, the third half hour, actually, because we're only going to be on for another half an hour here. I have been doing my best to try and find a place where I could actually do my show, because I cannot do it at the house because I don't have a good signal there. And the only way I can actually do my show is like Skype it in and have a direct connection to the show. And it seems like my connection there, even though I have a full signal for my web and for my Wi-Fi there through my internet, seems to be a full signal. It breaks up a lot. So that is the reason why I like using my phones the way I do, because the sound is so much better, so much purer, and doesn't break up as often or as much. And I'm glad to see that Flycatch is in there in the chat room. Well, he was. He's not right there right at the moment, but he will probably be back. He does come and go at times. On Thursday, on Fox News Channel's The Ingram Angle, pollster Frank Luntz said the unpopularity of the House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, could mean Republicans keep the House majority in November midterms. Now, I never had any doubts about this one, because the American people would have to be freaking foolish and stupid to put the Democrats back in power, especially after Pelosi has said the things that she wants to do and wants to institute when they take power back. And that should be a warning sign to everybody who is there that it should not happen until the Democrats change their ideas on what they want to do, change their ideas on what they feel about America, and change their ideas and start realizing that America is a great country and needs to be saved. But the Democrats, no. They don't like that. When asked about the generic congressional vote numbers tightening in favor of Republicans, Luntz said, "I've been tracking this on a weekly basis going back now for a year and a half, and these are the best numbers for the GOP had in the last year. One of the reasons is that women, working women, women with children have begun to leave the Democratic Party." Now, this is actually good news. This is actually news that people can really get behind here, because this is, you know, this is actually really, really good news that women are leaving the Democrat Party. And like I said, I like to call them the Demoncrat Party, because they act like a bunch of demons on a mission to destroy whatever is good. And their mission has been to destroy America for the past 30 years or so that I can remember. I've followed what's been going on since Reagan was in office. Before that, Democrats were okay. I didn't vote for them. I didn't want them in office. But back then, they were okay. Today, not even close to being okay. But that is neither here nor there. I was going to do NWCR's NPR News Blast for Hour 2, which starts out with this. But I have still got a lot of stuff to do, so I am going to work on doing what I have left. Now, one of the reasons that is that women, working women, women with children have begun to leave the Democratic Party. It's not that they are pro-Republican, but they see among the Democrats is the negativity that turned them off in the previous elections. Second is that Nancy Pelosi is simply the least popular, credible figure in the Democratic Party right now. She is more unpopular than Hillary and Chuck Schumer. He continued, if Republicans could find some way to engineer a vote over who would be Speaker of the House in January of 2019, if they could engineer that vote and would be prepared to say right now that the Republicans would keep the majority because there are so many people out there, swing voters, who do not want Pelosi as Speaker, that one action would make a lot of difference. He added, if the GOP can get a Pelosi vote and energize their base, then they will keep the majority, and I think they will anyway. So, and that's a prediction on my part. Note, now on that note, I found it hard to believe that the American people would be stupid enough to vote their the Democrats back into office and into majority after all the things that they have said lately that goes totally against the way things should be. Common sense just doesn't run with that crowd on the left, yet they still seem to stay in office. It is unbelievable at best. And we are working on the second hour, half hour of the show here. And since we have a couple of messages that we want to work on here, we will be right back with these messages.
When you need to know what America stands for, Conservative Nation Media will let you know. The Second Amendment is taught here, along with why it needs to stay.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure.
Tomorrow?
Let's check with Mom. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak. Just make sure you have everything.
Yep. Can we walk home?
How about a taxi? 233 North Maple, please.
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking. Plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood.
Best day ever.
A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Mm-hmm.
We will be right back.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Okay, we are back. Call in number 646-478-5284. If you want to join in the discussion today. From BizPack Review comes this one about Pelupi Pelosi, who, again, was babbling as she so often does nowadays. Nancy Pelosi, the 78-year-old career politician who wants to be the next Speaker of the House, again, just keeps getting weirder and weirder all the time. The House Minority Leader holds a weekly press conference, and every week she's a little more odd. Well, her weekly press conference actually is not doing her any good, and it's actually helping the Republicans. I think if she suddenly realized this, that she would quit doing them probably. But Pelosi has long been known for her poor public speaking skills, but last week she was seen uttering gibberish, bizarrely laughing and staring off mid-sentence before re-engaging the press during the appearance, reports the American Mirror. Pelosi accused U.S. farmers of self-inflicted damage resulting from proposed tariffs by the Trump administration before having to fix the statement she read from her notes. Farmers are struggling with plummeting prices, great economic uncertainty, and self-inflicted damage of the Trump tariffs. I say self for our country, she said. Republicans wrote a bill that abandons farmers, farming families. It weakens the farmers' weak safety net, Pelosi accused. Talk about food stamps, she said. 1.5 million veterans. Stopping and staring, and then she stopped and stared amid a supposed brain freeze before continuing, are involved in the nutrition program. She jumps from subject to subject like this, and I have the audio of this, and it's amazing to hear. After claiming a Republican priority is taking food out of the mouths of babies, she turned to prescription drugs, saying President Trump's month-delayed speech on prescription drugs. She says it better here. Let me just show you what she says. This is amazing to behold.
Farmers are struggling with plummeting prices, great economic uncertainty, and self-inflicted damage of the Trump tariffs. I say self for our country. But Republicans wrote a bill that abandons farmers farming families. It weakens the farmers' safety net. 1.5 million veterans are involved in the nutrition program. But this is ideological about, I don't know, taking food out of the mouths of babies. That maybe is a priority for them. President Trump's months delayed speech on prescription drugs. When we won in 06, one of our six row six, we are fighting to expand the possibility. Tuesday was a great night for us. Well, I don't know. Are you confident in the White House? Next.
Wow. That half of what she said there, I have listened to that over and over again, and when she started talking about 6x6x6, what the hell was she saying? I have absolutely no freaking clue. Pelosi, who has already served 16 terms in the House, which is like 16 terms too many, has filed paperwork to run again in 2018, making it 17 terms if she gets reelected. But some party leaders wish she'd just go away. Representative Linda Sanchez, Democrat of California, said late last year that it was time for Pelosi and other longtime party leaders to depart and let a new generation lead House Democrats. Our leadership does a tremendous job, but we do have this real breadth and depth of talent within our caucus, and I do think it's time to pass the torch to a new generation of leaders, Sanchez said. Now, what I had kind of talked about here. Now she has a point, you know, Sanchez does, but the torch shouldn't be passed on to someone we don't know. It really should be left in the incapable hands of the likes of Pelosi. She actually does more damage to the Democrat Party than the Republicans seem to want to. She is, in other words, the conservatives' best friend. Her rambling, brain freeze moments just keep getting more and more bizarre all the time. She is the poster woman for why we shouldn't vote Democrat. She has lost all ability to tone her rhetoric down and hide it a bit. Someone new like Sanchez might not be able to do that, which means we would be searching for what she really believes, though in all likelihood she will undoubtedly tell to further the liberal, you know, she will undoubtedly do everything she can to further the liberal plans. And I was listening to a podcast this morning, as I usually do. And this time I was listening to Conservative Voice Radio out of California, which is another one of Doug's shows. While the government, the subject was Clinton's and Russia giving them so much money, while the government and the FBI, who knew what was going on with the Clintons, didn't investigate Clinton, but did investigate Trump. It seems that CNN, MSNBC, and all the media and the liberals in Washington are working almost overtime to control Trump, which is something they have found they can't do. So they are concentrating on destroying him. No matter what, it doesn't matter that he is our president. And the story from them would be 180 degrees out of phase of this if the president was, say, Obama. Remember all the things that happened when Obama was being investigated? No, he never was. The only ones that we're looking into, like him not being an American by birth, which is a regulation. To be the president of the United States, you have to be an American by birth. And they did everything they could to keep anyone from looking into that in the first place. With all the things that Obama did that was against the law or against the Constitution or even beyond his power to do, it was okay with the Democrats, and we needed to live with it. Now that the shoe is on the other foot, so to speak, with a Republican president who, for once, they cannot control, and boy, they just don't know how to handle that one. All we need to know is that he is not the man who should be in office when it comes to the left, and he needs to be removed by any and all means available to them. Impeachment, treason, mental stability, Nazism, you name it. The Democrats have tried it. All have failed. Yet they won't take the message and move on to the next election, which, by the way, would work in our favor. If they stay 100% concentrated on taking him out of office, over people's wishes. They may not be even close to ready when the next election comes. Over the past couple of years, Pelosi has been getting weirder and weirder. She has praised illegal aliens on the Capitol's lawn, saying, "You make America more American." They, by definition, don't. She said the Constitution does not grant people the right to shout wolf in a theater. It probably does, but you can't yell fire. And she's complained that President Trump visited Saudi Arabia first, saying that it wasn't even alphabetical. I mean, Saudi Arabia? Nancy thinks he should have hit Afghanistan, then Albania, then Algeria, Andorra, Angola, etc. But don't worry, she'll come up with a new way to embarrass herself at the next weekly presser on Thursday. Now Pelosi is a great example of this. She knows without a doubt that she needs to move to center to get reelected. She is moving farther to the left and socialism, as are most of the rest of them. People, keep your eyes and ears open. The next election will tell if America will continue to head towards being great again, or we'll turn back around and move towards the abyss that the Democrat Party has in store for us. I don't see that happening. But if the media has anything to say about it, misinformation is the way to go for them. Keeping the American people misinformed. That is why I have this show, and why Doug in California does his shows, why Duke Brooks has his show in Delaware, and why we must do everything to make CNN grow again. And we are working on coming towards the end of the show right now. While appearing on Fox News and Friends Saturday, former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino ripped into the media's coverage of whether or not the FBI spied on President Donald Trump's campaign. Earlier in the week, Trump claimed that the FBI spied on his campaign. Here is what former Secret agent Bongino said.
President Obama had no knowledge whatsoever of an informant. The FBI has dozens, maybe hundreds of informants who provide very valuable information and do so in a legitimate way.
That was the former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, defending his old boss, claiming President Obama knew nothing about the FBI informant, otherwise known as a spy, possibly infiltrating the Trump campaign. But is that possible? Here to weigh in, former Secret Service agent and host of the Dan Bongino Show, Dan Bongino. Dan, you've been a little bit fired up about this, but let me ask you simply, someone who covertly collects information in a organization, let's say the Trump 2016 campaign, what do you call that?
Griff, it's a spy. A spy. You know, do you understand, Griff, we are all dumber for having this conversation. I'm sorry. Abby, Pete, you are going to lose 10 IQ points after this conversation. This is the dumbest conversation in American history. Let me just lay it out really simple for the liberals and the goofballs in the media, the Pravda media that are covering up for this. The FBI had a person who was getting information on the Trump team that was being used to spy on the Trump team. That's called a spy. S-P-Y, a spy. I cannot believe we're seriously having this conversation. Let me just say one more thing. The media, you're a joke. You're an embarrassment. You're a disgrace to the country for not covering this honestly. This is a huge scandal that you're burying just to save face for the Obama administration. It's disgusting.
They call it a confidential human source. But what would the rationale? So their rationale is we're defending the country and defending the Trump campaign against Russia, right? Then why didn't they tell Trump's team that they were being surveilled from the inside if they were protecting them?
Pete, even worse, right? If that was their MO, well, we were just protecting you from Russia by implanting a spy in your campaign. You're using a euphemism of a confidential human informant. Why didn't they put one in the Hillary campaign?
Hillary had deep ties to Russia. Hillary had deep ties to Ukraine. Hillary's foundation had taken millions from Russia. Pete, a very serious, legitimate, I know I can be sarcastic, and I'm definitely really PO'd about this story, but I'm serious. Why not insert a spy into Hillary's campaign to protect them from Russia, too? So nobody will answer that question.
Okay, that's former Secretary, Secret Agent Dan Bongino talking about the Trump administration being spied on by Obama. And they're coming out with more and more information on this one as we speak, more or less. But we have come to the end of the show, and we'll be here again next week. And what we want to do is wish you guys a great
found, just one kicked down 66, stopped another time, just don't